Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is a verse of scriptures we visited often, but I wanted to relook at these verses as we choose to do life together in spiritual family and in discipleship path and track. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." It's interesting that over 2,000 years ago, that Peter looked at his generation and called it perverse. If he thought it was perverse then, what in the world would he say about our situation? He said, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly, everybody say gladly, gladly received his word were baptized. And that day there were 3,000 souls added to them. It's interesting, in John chapter 17, before Jesus goes to the cross, he prays a prayer, and he prays about his own journey. He prays about the journey of his disciples. And then he prays for all of them who are going to follow him, all of the them. So you need to make sure in your life that you know who your them is. Them is very important. Him and them and your own them. It says, so they were added to them. Then they continued, that's a good word, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. It's kind of a good fear. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among as everyone had need. So continuing, there's that word again, daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and the simplicity of heart. The simplicity of heart. How many knows there are people that can complicate everything? Don't point at anyone. But I think it's interesting that when the Holy Spirit was poured out and there was the word going forth and there was a season of prayer, a season of being together, there was a simplicity that came upon the people of God and they were glad. You know what I found out? That many times simplicity is just one decision of joy away. Just living a simple life, a life that is more simple, makes us be closer to joy. And so they went from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Saved. There's nothing greater than to see people saved. To see people saved. It's the greatest thing that happens in, through, around the church, is to see people saved, born again. I love these scriptures. I love some of the things we highlighted. Gladly received, continued steadfastly, were together, continued daily, one accord, breaking bread, gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, and the Lord added. I love those things. I love this series that we've been having, this talk we've been doing about together. I've loved the questions and some of the thoughts and a lot of the responses about membership and about covenant and about discipleship. I've received some cool emails. And what it does is it just shows me that there is a hunger for more of Him in our lives, because really that's what this is all about. It's about getting more of Him in our life and about doing everything we can together as a church to see more people saved and to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of being in spiritual family as we do everything we can to continue to be disciples of Christ and what that journey means. Because that's different for all of us. All of us are at a next step that's a little bit different. And this hopefully has answered some of the questions of what is next for you in your life. What is the next step for you as it relates to being a disciple of Jesus Christ? We've already had over 275 people that have signed up for membership class, which is next Sunday. And hopefully many of you are going to sign up today to be a part of our membership class. And maybe you're online and you're watching and you could sign up right there for our membership class. You could be a part of the covenant membership. We're going to receive communion today. You can be a part of all that online and our online experience, because we want to do everything we can to reach you. And then here's the other thing I think is amazing, as we are going to turn to some of those things today. There's already been over 1,200 membership covenants that have already been turned in. Over 1,200 people have said yes to that whole thought of the next step towards discipleship and the journey that God has called us on. You say, well, Dino, you know, is it your desire to see everyone walk in membership and everyone walk in spiritual family and everyone walk in covenant? It sure is. I would have to say that, yes, we want to see that. But if you say, that's really not where I'm at in my life, here's the good news. We're still your church. I'm still your pastor, and you still belong, because that's what it's all about. We just want to help you along the path. And we believe times like this and once a year, we'll be talking about these things, because I believe there's more of us that we want to give you. There's more conversations that we want to have. We don't desire for our church to be spectators. We don't desire that this spiritual family just be as fragmented and isolated and separated. And we just happen to show up on Sunday and you look at the back of somebody's head and then you head back to the car. That's really not the best that the church offers. That's not the best that spiritual family offers. We want to do everything we can, because many of you give so much. And you give your finances and you give your time and you give your talent and you give your support. We want to do everything to make sure that we're giving you all of us, just like many of you are giving all that you can to Christ and to spiritual family. I've told you before, my three best decisions in life, I haven't made many, but I've made three good ones. And these three decisions, all of life, have really responded from that action and that decision that I made. It's been like dominoes, these decisions. The first was when I said yes to Jesus, when I came to Christ. And that is the best decision you will ever make, is when you say yes to Jesus Christ. There is nothing that is even a close second to saying yes to Jesus Christ. Nothing at all. Jesus is the way. Everything we've talked about, I believe, are just, you know, blessings and a part of the path. But it's Christ and Christ alone that is the best decision. He stands alone at judgment seat. Can I have an amen? We stand before the Lord. That's the best decision I ever made, was say yes to Jesus. Second best decision I ever made. I hadn't made a lot of them, but I'll tell you what, it was a good day when Delin said yes to the dress. Can I have a good amen? And said yes and married me. When I asked her to marry me, she married me. That was a great day. Why? Because so much of my life has been defined not in the contractual thing that we signed, but in the covenant relationship that we made before God. My life has been determined. So much of life is determined based on who you choose to do life with in covenant marriage and in covenant relationship. And then the third best decision I made, I hadn't made a lot of them, third best decision I ever made, was when I said yes to the house of God and spiritual family. And I did that in several different expressions. When I said yes to devotion, when I said yes to being steadfast, I said yes to being connected. I chose to be committed beyond just attending. And when I made that decision at about a little over 18 years old, that was many, many years ago, when I made that decision, it's amazing how my life is radically different because I chose discipleship. I chose spiritual family. I chose the local church. I chose to be connected. I chose to be committed to God's people. My life is radically different today than it was, or than it would have been, if I would have just been isolated or separated or fragmented from God's house. You say, well, Dino, I'm saved. That's all I need. I'm saved. That's all I need. Then why did Jesus talk about that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Why did he talk about coming together? Why did he look at his disciples and say that I want you to be one? I want you to walk together. I want you to be in one accord. Why were all those things happening? You say, well, I'm saved and I'm just going to seek. I'm just going to be a seeker. I'm just trying to figure all this out. Or I'm just kind of here and I'm kicking the tires. I mean, it was back in the day, you go to a showroom and, you know, my dad used to go to a showroom. He'd love to go. Wasn't even interested in buying a car. He'd just go to a car dealer, kick the tires. I was like, I was young too. I went and kicked the tire, but I hurt my foot. But I thought that was kind of what you did as an Italian man. You went and kicked the tires. So maybe you say, well, I'm just kind of kicking the tires and I'm not ready. And that's cool and that's great. We understand that completely. But I want to invite you today to try commitment. Try commitment. He said, but Dino, signing a commitment is not for me. It's too much to ask. It's not me. I'm not that type of person. I actually had somebody tell me that they're not a commitment person. They said, I'm not the kind of person who makes a commitment. And I thought, you know, in that conversation, I said, really? You don't, I don't make commitments. I thought, how are you living in your house? Didn't you make a commitment to a mortgage? How many knows the mortgage company requires a commitment? How many of you can't just go by and say, I'm going to live here? Give me the keys. You know, we talk about commitment. Are you asking for a commitment? You know, that's a tough thing. Let me tell you something. Everything is asking for your commitment. You can't go and get a car at a car lot without a commitment. I'm going to drive it for a couple weeks. Can I just drive it? Let me tell you something. Energy and Demco, they want your commitment. You got a cell phone, you've signed a commitment. You have insurance, you've signed a commitment. You work out at a health club, they want some type of commitment. I mean, we live in a world of that is asking for commitment. So why would we choose? We pick and choose commitment. And we're willing to commit to a 30-year mortgage. Think about that. 30 years. That's a long time. We commit to a 30-year mortgage. Gladly we do. But yet, sometimes when it comes to being committed to God's family or being committed in other areas, we shrink back. Why not make a decision for God's thing? When I was looking over our membership covenant, you may want to pull it out. It's really a discipleship process. Here's what you're saying yes to. You're saying yes to attending, which I think is a good idea. You're saying yes to giving. You're saying yes to support, supporting the house of God through our words and our testimony. You're saying yes to relationship. You're saying yes to growing. You say yes to serving. You say yes to reaching. That's a better commitment than my AT&T commitment. Come on, somebody. Those are more beneficial to my life and my family and my future than a lot of the other commitments that I've said yes to. I want to do all of those with my life. I want to attend the house of God. I want to be with spiritual family. I want to give. I want to support. I want to be in relationship with other believers. I want to grow. I want to serve. I want to reach. All those things I want to do. I want to give myself to all of those things. I want to give them to Him, and I want to give them to them around us. I want to live a life of high commitment, plain and simple. Why? Because I believe there is nothing great in life unless you make high commitment. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe as it relates to a marriage, who would want to go into a marriage and right, you know, at rehearsal before you leave and you separate, I'll see you tomorrow. You know, and you're done with the rehearsal dinner. Right before you leave, the groom or the bride says to one another, boy, I can't wait for that, you know, small commitment tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow for that light commitment. Well, what would you say? You'd be like, whoa, I'm not showing up. We're shutting this thing down. I mean, if someone looked and said, I'll see you tomorrow for a really teeny commitment. Or how about doing your wedding vows? I commit as small as I can. I commit just a little bit of my life to you. How many of us in the middle of the vows, everybody sitting in the church would be like, oh Lord, have mercy. I mean, why? Because you want to live a life and you want the benefits of high commitment. Jesus taught a simple truth, and this is the last scripture I want to read to you today because I think it's just so powerful. I read it this weekend, and it just convicted me all over again. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. This is an amazing verse. Matthew 16, verse 25. It would solve so much of our challenges. Jesus said these words, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I was up last night praying and I was thinking about life. I was thinking about family. I was thinking about children. I was thinking about the future. I was thinking about a few storms and a few challenges and a few things that you navigate. And I'm navigating personally. As I read this scripture, I just felt like the Lord said, son, I want to see you let go more. I want to see you let go. Because there's some things that you're holding on to. And my word and my spirit and where I want to take you in your life and what I want to see happen in your life, you've got to let go of some things. And I started thinking about living a life with clenched fists. Trying to do relationship and trying to raise children or trying to be in a marriage or trying to have friends or trying to be a part of the local church or be in relationship like this. Or how about just in the natural, just living like this. What happens? You really can't get a handle on much. Just living a life like this. I think, I thought, I wonder how long I could clench my fist. And I actually sat around last night clenching my fist for a while. After about 10 to 12 minutes, I almost fainted. I think all the blood was running to my fist. And I was just like, okay, I need to stop and get some orange juice. I feel a little peaked. Got splotches on my neck. Just try living your life like that. Try going through the next 24 hours with clenched fist. I don't know if you could survive. Eventually your hands would be so aching, your arms and everything. It would be so. But guess what? Many times in life, we live this way. We live our life with clenched fists and we're not open to anything. And we just stay closed. God says, I want you to let me have my way. So often you're holding on to this or you're holding on to that. You're holding on to a pain or you're holding on to a success. Maybe there's dirt in your life and you're holding on to the dirt in your life. Or maybe there's pearls in your life, successes and accomplishments and who you are and pride and ego. You're holding on to all these things. So you don't understand. Somebody angered me. You don't know how somebody hurt me. You just don't know how somebody hurt me. You don't know how somebody wronged me. You don't know how somebody lied to me. I would still say, let go. So, but you don't understand. I was let down in the past. I've been let down by many people. I've been let down by you. I've been let by, now this one, I've been let down. I've been let down. I've been let down. I've been let down. I would say in the middle of your let down, still let go. Let go. But you don't know my history. You don't know my yesterday. This has happened and this has happened. And this pain and this problem and this challenge, you don't know my history. I want to challenge you today. What about walking out of your history and letting go? What about walking out of your yesterday and letting go? What about letting go of those things and just deciding that I'm going to open up my hands to God and to His family? Because I believe God wants to put something back in your hand. I believe it's a life that He intends. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. I think about that night when Jesus gathered with His disciples. Celebrate Passover. He gathered them all together and they sat in that room. He's washed their feet. But then He gathers them tight and He takes the cup and a loaf of bread. And He says, this is the cup. This is my blood. It's going to be shed for you. And as often as you do this, and as often as you come to this table and come to this moment, what does he teaches them? You do this in remembrance of me. Then He says, this is the bread, this is my body. It represents my body. And when you break the bread and when you take the bread, you do it in remembrance of me. And you think about what Christ did. Christ was telling them, I'm going to die on a cross for you. My body's going to be broken. It's going to be beaten. It's going to be rejected. Then my blood is going to be poured out for you. So that sin will no longer separate us. And that we don't stay isolated. But we come into family. And I'm going to give you my spirit. It's interesting as Jesus opened up His heart, as He opens up His life to those that were gathered there. What would have happened if those disciples would have just remained closed and kept their but what did they have to do? They had to open up and receive it as He passed it around. And today, I want to encourage you to let go. I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know what you got. I don't know what you got there that is so hard. You've prayed prayers. You've responded to an altar. You've talked to people about it. You've chatted about it. All these, but it's still there. I want to encourage you today that is Jesus. And I believe Jesus is here because the Bible says where two or more gather together, he is there. As Jesus invites us to his table, I want to encourage you today to let go and open up to his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his truth, his brokenness, and his redemption, and ultimately his forgiveness, so that you and I can live a life with open hands for Christ, for the family of God, and for the people around us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.